CEO Business Mind, the radio show for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals. Whether you own or run a business or would like to start one, this is the place for all the answers. Now, here's your host, Joe Morabito.
And hello, welcome to my show. This is Joe Morabito with CEO Business Mind. And before we get started, if you want to get to me, all you need to do is Google CEOBusinessMind.com. Look for the box that says subscribe, type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions. And if you do that, you can take a look at my blog postings going back several years. They're very instructional. You can see some of the businesses that we're in. And in better times, you can even check out some of the job openings that we might have somewhere in the country and sometimes even outside. If you're interested in my political rants, then all you need to do is go to nationalfreedomforum.com. Same process. Look for the box that says subscribe, type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions, and if you do that, you can see what I'm thinking every day about the politics of our country and the world. And if you want to know a little bit more about one of our businesses, Paragon Home Resources, I write a blog for that one too. Just go to our website at paragonhomeresources.com, look for the line that says blog, click on it. Same process, type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions, and if you do that, you'll get my blog postings for Paragon Home Resources every day. They're fun and entertaining and usually something home-related since that's the business that we're in. So we always start the show with seeing the train coming as our first segment. And, you know, and I do this as a bit of a warning, and this is, I'm calling it the socialist 1.9 trillion dollar swindle-us plan that's working its way through Congress this week, and most likely the socialist, and they are socialist, there's no Democrat party left anymore, it's the socialist party, they're going to enact a $1.9 trillion supposedly COVID relief bill. This will be the sixth one, I believe. And the only problem with only about 9% of the money that's in this $1.9 trillion swindle-us plan has anything to do with COVID relief. Most of the money is going to all the socialist schemes that they've always wanted to fund, you know, for years. So there's money going to arts and entertainment. There's money going to a subway in none other than Nancy Pelosi's Silicon Valley. I think $100 million for that one. I mean, we're talking billions of dollars for some of these schemes that they're funding. Again, nothing to do with COVID relief. They're putting money into union pension plans in big cities. These are public employee union pension plans. They're bailing out blue state cities and states, and literally billions and billions and billions. Well, it adds up to almost $2 trillion. And just so everybody is clear as to how much money this is, $1 trillion is $1,000 billion. So in this particular case, they're basically spending $2,000 billion. $1.9 trillion is nearly $2,000 billion. Folks, this would all be fine and dandy, except we have a $28 trillion national debt that will never get paid off. If they took all the money, all the wealth, everything that we all own from everybody, not just the rich, everybody, you couldn't pay off our national debt. And so the day will come, and it's not going to be too far away, when the country won't be able to borrow anymore. And when that happens, they'll have to start printing money. The interest on the national debt, the interest that has to be paid is about $450 billion a year. And that's at current interest rates. If interest rates go back up, the interest on the national debt, we have a $4 trillion budget generally every year. And they borrow about $1 trillion because we bring in about $3 trillion. We're going to get to the point where the interest on the national debt could end up being $800 or $900 billion a year. Now, remember, we only take in about $3 trillion a year. They borrow $1 trillion because they spend over $4 trillion a year. This is federal we're talking about now. So we're going to see incredible inflation because at the end of the day, at some point, the feds are going to have to start printing money because there's no way to pay even the interest on the debt, let alone fund Social Security and Medicare, both of which are headed toward insolvency. So, you know, when we look at this, And look, this is a business show, but I always say, you know, what happens in Washington doesn't stay in Washington. It impacts every single person living in the, really in the whole world, but every single person living in the United States is impacted by what these characters do in Washington. And they all have dirty hands. I'm going to point my fingers at both the socialists and the Republicans, because they've all contributed to this national debt. Now, it is true, the government caused the COVID fiasco, caused the destruction of thousands of businesses, caused millions of people to lose their jobs, and now supposedly following the science as it relates to COVID, they destroyed the economy in 2020. And of course, they've had to pump money in to bail out companies, which is fair. The Paycheck Protection Program helped many businesses, even though many went out of business because it wasn't enough money. And of course, the additional unemployment insurance that was paid out, because they caused these job losses. And so it wasn't fair not to help cover these people that lost their jobs, millions of them. But even so, folks, from Trump, the recovery had already begun. We're at about 6.5% unemployment. And unfortunately, President Biden is causing more unemployment rather than helping the situation by some of the things he's doing to close down, you know, the energy sector. Terrible stuff. Thousands of people have lost their jobs with some of the stuff that Biden has already done. But the reality is this $1.9 trillion swindlous plan. Jamie Dimon, who is the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, you know, he expressed concerns that so much of this money is going to get pumped into the economy that it's actually going to cause a recession. It's going to work in reverse. Well, probably true, because Biden is a job killer. He keeps killing jobs, for God's sakes. So, you know, you kind of have to watch what's going on in Washington. I know many of us would rather just ignore what they're doing, but the problem is we can't ignore what they're doing, because the national debt is going to be used as an excuse to raise taxes on business and on people. They will use it as an excuse to raise taxes. They'll say, oh my God, we've got a $28 trillion national debt. And by the way, it's not over yet. A $28 trillion national debt. So of course we have to raise taxes. And if you raise taxes, you cause a recession. You cause people to lose their jobs, because obviously if people have less money in their pockets, then they don't have money to buy things. And if they don't have money to buy things at the end of the day, people lose their jobs. It's just that simple. And we learned during the Great Depression, when Roosevelt's so-called New Deal was supposed to end the Great Depression, it didn't. He raised taxes, he increased government spending, and with these, you know, temporary jobs, so to speak, and unemployment never fell much below 14% during the entire period of the New Deal. And by 1938, you know, it was right back up to 20%. They went into recession. So that formula doesn't work. Whenever you raise taxes, whenever you add job-killing regulations, you kill jobs. It's that simple. You cause a recession. And we're going down that road. I'd be very careful about the stock market, because what they're pumping in, we're going to have incredible inflation in the next few years. And part of it is just energy prices are going to go up dramatically. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. When energy prices go up, it affects everything. So at the end of the day, you know, you got to kind of watch what's going on in Washington. We got to see this train coming. That's why I put it in the Seeing the Train Coming segment, because this swindlous plan, this is the Biden swindlous plan for $1.9 trillion. There won't be, there wasn't in the House. They've already passed it in the House. There wasn't one Republican vote for it. There won't be one Republican vote, I don't think, in the Senate for it, because at the end of the day, only 9% of the $1.9 trillion is actually going for COVID relief. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Now, back to CEO Business Mind, the radio show for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals, with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito with CEO Business Mind for the second segment of our show. And I've got some good news for you, and I think it's going to be good news. Google's business model is about to change. It's about time. And let me tell you what's happening with Google. Google, as you know, makes billions and billions and billions of dollars in profit. And they do it basically by data mining, selling our information, and accessing a lot of free information that's on the website. So when we want to Google something, and Google, you know, in the old days when they would say, well, I'm going to go Xerox this, meaning I would copy something. So you use a Xerox machine. Of course, there are no Xerox machines anymore, but still that became, you know, like the word to use when you were going to copy. I'm going to Xerox it, right? Well, now, of course, just like I always say, for people to get to my blogs and this and that, just Google it, Google it, Google it. And I'm sure I'm on Google, as you are, probably 10 times or more a day, Googling something, because there's always some bit of information that I'm looking for. Well, guess what? The news agencies have now said to Google, look, you can't have access to our websites for free. You're going to have to pay us if you want to have your customers, your users, have access to our websites. So now Google, for the first time, this is really, really good, for the first time is going to be paying for some of the information that's on their website. And why shouldn't they? Because we all use Google often to access that information. And why should they be getting it for free at the end of the day when they're making billions of dollars? So finally, some companies have stood up to Google. And these are primarily the news organizations at this point, but it will start a trend, I guarantee you, because other companies are going to say, wait a minute, we're not selling anything. We're not advertising on Google to sell some goods or products or services. You're coming in to our websites, and you're basically making our websites available to your customers. And what are we getting out of it? And the answer is nada, nothing. And so all of a sudden, these organizations that provide information to Google are saying, wait a minute, we spend all this money developing this information. You have to pay us for it. And I have to tell you, I could not be more thrilled. And let me tell you why. This is the beginning of a new business model. And this, again, I'm very focused on getting to Washington and having legislation, because at the end of the day, in case you didn't know, Google takes our information. When we go on Google and we look for a pair of shoes or whatever it is we're looking for, they track everything we do. They know our buying habits. They know who we are. They know where we live. They have our location. They know everything about us, because when we go on Google, they are profiling each one of us. So don't think you're getting anything for free when you go on Google, because what Google is doing is called data mining. They are selling our information to advertisers, to businesses that are very interested in selling to us. Well, what I keep saying is, what am I getting out of the deal? What are you getting out of the deal as a user? I want Google to pay me $100 a month. I want money coming to me because I know they're selling my information. So why do they get to make billions? Now, they would argue, because I'm getting access to information on Google and for free, which is true. I don't pay a fee, but it doesn't matter, because they are taking the information that I represent. It's called data mining, and they're selling it to their advertisers, and they're making billions of dollars. You know, a couple years ago, I was up in Sonoma. We were walking to a restaurant. Sonoma is the wine country, for those of you that aren't familiar with it. And we were with some friends, and we were walking to a restaurant. And I have a rental property that I own in Arizona. And I got an inquiry, and I don't remember, I think it was an email inquiry, on a rental property that I own in Arizona. Within, I would say, 5 minutes, I got a phone call on my cell phone from somebody representing Google wanting me to list my property on Google. So obviously, somehow Google knew, because of my Apple iPhone, that I had gotten that particular email. And within 5 minutes, somebody from Google was calling me to pitch advertising my property on Google. Well, I don't need to do that, because, you know, I have a website that I use, Arizona Snowbird, which is really good. And I have no problem, you know, getting potential tenants using Arizona Snowbird. This property is in Phoenix. But anyhow, Google knows everything about us. They know where we are when we're in our car. They know where we're driving. They know what we're buying. And what I want from Google is I want them to pay me for my information. I want them to pay you for your information because they're making billions of dollars selling our information. And there's something convoluted about that, something perverse, that they're getting my information for free. They're turning around and they're selling it, and I'm not getting 22 cents out of the deal. Well, I'm all for, you know, them making money, but do they need to make billions and billions? They could take $1 billion a year of profit, and they could pay it out to their users around the world. And the reality is, I don't even mind a sliding scale. If I'm worth more than somebody else, they should pay me more. I mean, obviously, if you're a power user on Google and you use them a lot, then that means your visibility to their customer, or really their clients, which are all the companies that advertise on Google, who want to sell to me or you. If I'm a power user, maybe I'm worth $200 a month, maybe $500 a month. I don't know. But certainly, I think it's time for Google to start sharing the wealth. And if they're going to take our information and they're going to sell it to other people, other companies primarily, then why aren't we getting a piece of the action? And these other companies now that are going to Google and saying, wait a minute, you cannot have our information for free because we're not selling anything. We're not selling goods or services or products. You're basically taking the information that we have spent millions of dollars developing every week, and you've got it on your website, so, you know, and paying nothing for it. So I don't blame these companies at all for saying to Google, look, if you're gonna link to our website in essence and portend to provide your customers, your users, with our information, that's fine. We bring value to Google by virtue of your connectivity to us. You got to pay us. And I'm saying the same thing now for the millions, if not billions, of people who use Google. And now they're selling our information. They're using data mining. They're using us. Believe me, they know everything there is to know about you. They know your buying habits. They know where you live. They know what your family size is. They know if you have children. They know if you're a senior citizen. They know everything there is to know about you. You have been profiled, folks. You've been profiled, whether you like it or not. Unless you're going to go completely blank, or I should say, a blackout mode where you're not on anything on the internet, your information is all out there. Your privacy has been broken. So you've given up your privacy. When you do a search on Google, you're now their property. They own you. Now, I'm not being critical. I mean, it's a brilliant marketing scheme on their part. All I'm saying is, I want a piece of the action. You're going to sell me. Why am I getting nothing? And so, you know, when I was thrilled to see these companies come to them and say, look, if you're going to put our information on your website and we don't make anything off of it because we don't sell any good services or products, you got to pay us. Now, this could be the beginning of a completely different business model for Google. And they're going to have to adapt. They're going to have to change. They'll be forced to. But I want the Congress, I want our legislatures to put laws in place, if necessary, if you got to do it this way, to require Google to pay us for selling our information. I don't want to give it for free. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more CEO Business Mind in a moment.
Whether you're thinking of starting a business or just moving up the corporate ladder, this is the place for practical advice. CEO Business Mind with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito for the second segment of our show today. Again, to get to me, all you need to do is Google, just talking about Google, CEOBusinessMind.com. Look for the box that says subscribe. type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions. And if you do that, you can take a look at my blog postings going back several years. You can see some of the businesses that we're in. And better times, you can even check out some of the job openings that we might have. Hopefully, the economy is coming back and we'll need people in the future. If you're interested in my political wranglings, and they are wranglings or rantings, as the case may be, just go to nationalfreedomforum.com. Same process. Look for the box that says subscribe, type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions. And if you do that, you can see my political thought of the day. I tend to post every day on National Freedom Forum. And if you want to know more about Paragon Home Resources, I write that blog too. Just go to paragonhomeresources.com. Look for the little line that says blog, same process. Type in your email address, follow the confirmation instructions. And again, you can see what I'm thinking about anything related to your home or buying a home or selling a home, very home-related blog postings every day. So for this third segment of our show, I want to talk about energy prices going up. Thank you, Joe Biden and the Green New Deal. Well, here's the deal, folks. Energy prices are going up. And the impact on you for business purposes, you in reference to your home, wherever you live, whatever you buy, whatever you do, because as energy prices go up, it impacts virtually everything. And so what our illustrious new president is doing is attempting to make the cost of carbon energy higher. So naturally, gasoline, natural gas, electricity, all of it is going to be far more expensive because wind and solar alone cannot power our economy. We certainly learned that down in Texas recently when the windmills froze up. And so what you're going to see is the Californication of our country. For those of you that don't know about California, California has already adopted the Green New Deal. And so they're moving mostly to renewable energy. They do still use natural gas. There are blackouts in California because there is not enough energy to go around. And so what you're going to see nationally is just look to California and you'll see what ends up happening. Energy prices in California are 30, 40, and 50% higher for gasoline, for natural gas, for electricity, for water, and of course the cost of living in general because it impacts everything, 30, 40, 50% higher than the rest of the country. And so everybody in the country is going to be impacted by the Californication of energy and energy prices. This is what President Biden aims to do. This is what the Green New Deal is all about. They want to raise the cost of carbon energy. We are going to go shortly, if we haven't already, from being energy independent under President Trump to being energy dependent again, where we will have to start importing foreign oil. Makes no sense. The Keystone Pipeline, by the way, that Biden ended was about as dumb as it could possibly get, because now that same oil is going to come in from Canada, only it's going to come in on rail tank cars or it's going to come in on trucks. And oh, by the way, they run on diesel fuel at the moment. And as a result, the impact on the environment is going to be 1,000 times worse than if, in fact, that oil had been shipped through a pipeline. So it's dumb. It's about as dumb as could be. We're going to see energy prices going up. So let me just tell you what this means to you, just something to think about. As it relates to your home energy prices, if you own appliances that are 10 years or older, it might be time to replace them because they're probably not energy independent. And once they get older, you're probably going to have costly repairs. So rather than having costly repairs, maybe it's time to buy a new refrigerator, to buy a new washer, to buy a new dryer, get rid of the old ones, bring in new ones. Specific to air conditioning and heating, same thing. If your units are 10 years or more older, the odds are pretty good. You're going to have repairs on those units, particularly the air conditioners. It might be time to replace them. You need to buy a 14 SEER or higher air conditioning system in order to get any kind of efficiency. If you're going to be staying in your home 5 years or longer and you're not planning on moving and you have an older home, it might be a good idea to replace your windows with energy efficient windows, which is probably going to cost you depending on the size of your home, anywhere from $7,000 to $15,000. But you'll get that back within 5 years because you will not be spending as much on heating and air conditioning. Something to think about. You might also want to think about adding to the insulation in your attic so that you've got a higher rated insulation in your attic than might already be there, because it will cut down on your heating and air conditioning cost, which is a good thing. You know, what else? I mean, there are other things you can do. Now, if you decide to move, and we can help you do that through Paragon Home Resources, and you buy a newer home, the newer home will have requirements for efficiency, energy efficiency, that the older homes don't have. Now, you're going to pay a premium for a newer home, but you're also probably going to be buying an energy efficient home. So with energy prices going up, now is the time to really think about what are you going to do to mitigate the cost of energy from a personal standpoint. From a business standpoint, you really have to think in terms of, you know, the light bulbs that you've got in your business, the energy that you're using in your business. However, it depends what you have. If you have manufacturing, obviously you don't want to be doing manufacturing in a state with high energy costs. That's the reason why there isn't much manufacturing in California anymore. It's moved either overseas to China or wherever, or to other states with lower energy costs. By the way, as the price of energy goes up, which impacts virtually everything in our country, the price of everything is impacted by the price of energy. It will motivate businesses to ship jobs, manufacturing jobs, overseas where the energy expense is less and they don't have the environmental standards that we have. So as Biden and the Democrats, the socialists, raise energy costs in the United States, it's going to motivate companies to manufacture overseas, because at the end of the day, not only is labor cheaper, but the cost of energy is cheaper. So, you know, be careful what you ask for, because the Green New Deal is a job killer. The Paris Climate Accord, which gives the India and China a free ride for decades while we have to meet strict restrictions, is about as dumb as it gets. It should require a vote of the Senate because it is a foreign treaty. It needs to be challenged in court because Biden is going back into the Paris Climate Accord. Really dumb stuff here, folks. So energy prices are going up. So you have to think in terms of your business, in terms of your home, what are you going to do to mitigate energy expenses? Maybe solar panels on your roof make sense. But be advised, folks, those panels are made in China. They're not made in the United States. So you're not creating jobs in the United States if you put solar panels on your roof. Yeah, the guys have to come out and install them. Okay, fine. But the panels are made in China. They're not made in the United States because we can't compete with China in making windmills. The wind turbines, those are made in China. They're also made in Germany, but primarily in China. And the solar panels are all now made in China mostly because we can't produce them at a competitive price. We used to have solar panels made in the United States, and the Chinese have destroyed that industry in the United States. So don't think you're creating jobs in the U.S. if you put solar panels on your house. Most of those jobs are happening in China, not in the United States. Now, it's expensive to put solar panels. The return is about 8 years before you get your money back in lower electricity bills. But again, if you plan on staying in your home, maybe it's a good investment. Sometimes there are some tax rebates that you can get. I don't know if they're still around, but they were doing some federal and even state tax rebates if you add solar to your home. I know we see in California, we see a lot of solar panels on homes and other states too. So it's just something to think about. But now is the time. I can guarantee you energy prices are going up. Thank you, Joe Biden and the Green New Deal. So the question is, what are you going to do now to try to mitigate your energy expenses? Because for sure, you can expect them to go up 30, 40, 50%, maybe even double in the next few years from what you're paying today. And that means less disposable income for you to do other things that are fun. I don't know about you, but I need my heater at 70 degrees in the winter. I'm sorry, I'm cold. Under 70 degrees. Maybe I could live with less. I don't know. But I can feel it. The minute I walk in the house, if I'm 1 degree below 70, I feel a blast of cold air coming at me. And specific to air conditioning, I need that at about 73 in the summer. And again, I'm hot at much above 73. I could maybe live with 75. I don't know. But the point is, we're all going to have to make some changes if we want to cut the cost of energy, because for sure, thank you, Joe Biden, the cost of energy will be going up. Time for a break. I'll be back with more CEO Business Mind after this. Stay tuned.
Harnessing the entrepreneurial spirit of America. This is CEO Business Mind with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito for the fourth and final segment of our show today. And I want to talk about Hyatt Hotels' pushback on the cancel culture. In case you missed it, Hyatt in Orlando, hotels, the convention center in Orlando, hosted the CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference in Florida this last week. President Trump, it was his coming out party. The president spoke at the CPAC convention at the Hyatt Hotel and Convention Center in Orlando, Florida. Now, they moved it because it was supposed to be at the Gaylord in Maryland, but Maryland is still shut down and Florida is open for business. That's a whole nother story. But anyway, so they held it at the Hyatt Hotel. Well, of course, the cancel culture basically has attempted to shut down Hyatt, to call for boycotts, to end Hyatt's business, because they dared to have a conservative Republican, in this case, convention at their hotel. And Hyatt, thankfully, pushed back on the cancel culture and said, wait a minute, folks, you know, we're open for business. We don't discriminate unless it's a hate group or something. We don't discriminate from a political standpoint as to who we do business with. They pushed back. They didn't cower. And good for them, because at the end of the day, what we see happening in our country, and this really does impact business, where you have Mr. Pillow, Mike Lindell, who's been canceled. He's canceled because he supported President Trump. And so now there are about 20 different companies, including Kohl's, including Bed Bath & Beyond, including Macy's and others, that will not sell Mr. Pillow products because he happens to be a conservative Republican, and he also happens to believe that there was election fraud in 2020. And therefore, because he dares to speak something that fake news and that the socialists don't believe, or at least say they don't believe, who knows, he has been canceled. Well, God knows there are other businesses, I'm sure, that are being canceled every day because they don't toe the Socialist Party line. Folks, this is incredibly dangerous. It's never happened in our country before. We have threat to freedom of speech, to freedom of assembly, to the Bill of Rights are under threat from what we see happening with these characters, and we have got to push back. And I'm so proud of Hyatt. I love staying at Hyatt Hotels because they've said absolutely not. We're not going to play this game. They did not cower. There are other companies that have cowered. And I just have to believe that if we allow this to continue, where all of a sudden the cancel culture has determined that if you voted for Donald Trump, or you supported Donald Trump, or you still support Donald Trump, your rights have to be destroyed. You don't have freedom of speech. You don't have freedom of assembly. You have to be canceled. We have never seen anything like this in the history of our country. It amounts to fascism. This is fascism. You know, in 1933, Hitler had been elected the Chancellor of Germany, and in 1933, the Reichstag building, which is their parliament building, kind of like our capital, was set on fire. And Hitler used the burning of the Reichstag building as an excuse to take dictatorial power of Germany, and it was the end of their democracy. Well, we're starting to see a little bit of that with the attack on the Capitol. And the attack on the Capitol, by the way, included not only presumably Trump supporters, supposedly, but also, you know, they've arrested some Antifa types. So it wasn't just Trump supporters that attacked the Capitol. A lot of people got in on the act. Anarchists got in on the act, okay? All of them should have been prosecuted, no question about that, for what they did. Not arguing anything related to that. But in the meantime, we know now that President Trump offered Nancy Pelosi 10,000 National Guard troops 3 or 4 days before the attack on the Capitol, and she turned it down. She didn't like the optics of having to have National Guard troops protect the Capitol. What a mistake she made. And frankly, she needs to answer for that, because some people died as a result of her dereliction of duty. Another story, this is a business show. But my point to all of this is, we've got something similar going on as what happened in Germany in 1933, when the Reichstag building was set on fire. Hitler used it to take fascist power. And we're seeing the same thing happen again. In this case, the Capitol was attacked. They're calling it insurrection. It was really a riot. Okay, fine. Those people need to be punished, arrested and punished to the fullest extent of the law. No argument about that, okay? But the reality is, now it's fomented the cancel culture. And it's basically saying who can speak and who can't speak, who can assemble and who must be prohibited from assembling, what businesses must be shunned, and what businesses are part of the deep state swamp. And so we have got a very, very dangerous situation here, because God forbid, if Joe the pizza man, who owns a couple of pizza stores, happens to be a conservative Trump supporter, they want to shut Joe down. They want to end Joe's business that he's worked, you know, years and years, maybe decades to create. And we see the riots in the street. We see the businesses being burned. Nobody seems to care. But we see what's happening with the riots and the arson and the looting that's happened in cities in the last year. And so many small businesses burned to the ground. And there doesn't seem to be any concern about those business owners that have lost everything. This is a business show. But again, politics and business seems to intersect. So we have to stand up as business owners. And as Americans, forget about business owners, and say, wait a minute, what is going on here? We have the Bill of Rights. We have the First Amendment, which guarantees freedom of speech and assembly and religion and press. And so we cannot have a situation where the other side, in this case, the socialist and fake news and big business is tied into all this, by the way, big business, not small business, that is looking to cancel out small businesses and people in general who don't agree with them. Well, this is crazy. What have we come to in this country? We're dividing the country in such ways that there are irreconcilable differences that it could lead to the dissolution of the United States. We can't have that. We have to have election integrity. That's the other thing that the socialists are doing. They're attempting to pass H.R. 1, and H.R. 1 basically would ensure election fraud forever. They want to have unsolicited mail-in ballots. They want no voter ID. They want no signature matching. They want elections happening over months. So they want people to be able to turn in elections, ballots to unprotected mailboxes or sites. And then they want to be able to count the ballots for up to 10 days after Election Day. Can you imagine the fraud that this will bring about? If we don't have election integrity in our country, folks, we're going to lose our democracy. And so we see some things happening right now. Fortunately, the people of San Francisco stood up, because they were going to change the names of 45 high schools, including, or 45 schools in San Francisco, including schools that were named after our greatest presidents. They were even going to change the name of one of the schools named after Dianne Feinstein, who is a socialist, who was the mayor of San Francisco, who's been in Congress for decades in the Senate. They wanted to change the name of the school named after her. I don't know. She said something 30 years ago that they didn't like, and they wanted to change the name of the school. Fortunately, the parents in San Francisco stood up and say, no way, Jose, we're not doing this. You're not going to change the name of George Washington High School, or of Lincoln High School, or of Jefferson High School, or of Madison High School. You're not doing it. And so fortunately, the school board in San Francisco backed down. But these are the crazy things we see happening with this cancel culture. So I was very, very pleased that Hyatt Hotels stood up and pushed back, because they knew that if we were going to go down this road where, in essence, the left gets to approve who they do business with. So does that mean, theoretically, that if somebody voted for President Trump, they weren't going to be allowed to stay at a Hyatt hotel? Is that where we're going? Or that if a business supported President Trump, they couldn't have a conference or an event at a Hyatt hotel? I mean, this is ridiculous. Why would they turn away business from half the country? It doesn't make any sense. But I'm just so proud of the management of Hyatt that said, look, we don't discriminate against anybody on the basis of political ideology. Again, this presumes it's not some crazy hate group. But if these are groups in the norm, which, of course, this is Republicans, for God's sakes, they're in the norm. They're part of the political fabric of our country. You can't be discriminating against half the country. You can't do it. And so the fact that Hyatt Hotels, their management, their senior management, stood up and said, no, we're not playing this game. We're not doing it. You know, we're not going to turn away business from a legitimate group that is in the political fabric of our country, whatever that group is. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, we have to be very, very careful here, folks, because our First Amendment rights are under attack. And particularly the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of press, freedom of assembly, are under attack by this cancel culture that wants to stop the half the country from participating in the political fabric of our country and the business of our country. We cannot have this. And so I'm just hoping that more companies stand up and basically just remain neutral. Companies should not be taking political positions. I've said this for years, because at the end of the day, if a company takes a political position, not individuals that work at that company, they can do whatever they want. But if a company takes a political position, you can be assured you're offending half the country. Coca-Cola is doing training, telling their white employees that they need to be less white. Now, I don't even know what that means, folks. I don't know how you're less of it. Can you be less black, less Native American, less Latino? I can't even imagine standing up in front of my employee population and telling them to be less of whatever it is they are, whether it's white, black, Asian, Hispanic, Native American. Am I going to stand up in front of my employee population and say anything so ridiculous? Well, obviously, if you're a white employee at Coca-Cola, how could you feel comfortable working for them? I don't understand how businesses can take these positions and offend their own employee population. Because clearly, if Coca-Cola were to say to their black employees, you need to be less black, can you imagine the uproar there would be? There'd probably be riots in the streets. There would be discrimination lawsuits. I can't even imagine. I shouldn't do it anyway, of course. But I can't even imagine what the outcome would be. That's it for now. I hope you come back next week for more CEO Business Minds.